First of all, I'd like to say thank you to this congregation for your kindness and generosity to me, to my wife, as you recently have expressed to us such a show of your kindness and concern. I'm doing really well. For that, I'm thankful. I love and appreciate your pastor and his wife. I've known him and her a long time. He's been a faithful servant. And he's been my friend. I love him. Brother Don Fortner and his wife Shelby, I've known them a long time. Don's, you know, I guess I've known a lot of people a long time. Brother Don's been a dear friend to me and helped me. He's a pastor that I can pick up the telephone and call him. I don't mind calling him on his cell phone. I don't care where he is. If I need him, I'll call him and he'll answer. And I appreciate him. Thank you for having us this weekend. I pray the Lord bless these services. I heard Pastor Henry Mahan say one time, he said, I'm here and got a set of notes, got a Bible. But if God doesn't bless these services, it's just words. True words. Good words. Faithful words. But unless God blesses them, they just are not heard. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts 24. The Apostle Paul is in jail. He's in jail, not as a prisoner of a Roman government. He's in jail as the servant of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. First verse, Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's what God's people are. They're servants. And Paul is here to preach. And he's got an opportunity to preach by the determinate counsel of Almighty God before a governor, Felix, and his wife, Drusilla. In Acts 24, verse 25, we'll look at 25, 26, and 27 for just a few minutes. And the Scripture sets forth that Paul preached before Felix and Drusilla. The Scripture says, verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. This was his message. He had three points in his message. Here was the first point. He reasoned, he discussed thoroughly. He set forth righteousness. That is, that righteousness that is of God. The righteousness of God is the absolute only righteousness that is accepted by God. Not the best I can do, not the best you can do. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness. We talk about that. We talk about how men are doing
all that they possibly can do.
But righteousness that Almighty God would look upon and say, this is my beloved Son, well pleased. He reasoned of temperance, self-control. Now, Felix is sitting there with a wife that has, and Felix too, lived a life that's less than exemplary. She left her husband, sort of married Felix. And here they are listening to Paul speak of temperance. That is, that a man that Almighty God has called out of darkness is going to walk before God concerned. A believer doesn't walk as man by nature walks. And all of us here could start talking about how things used to be and this, that, and the other. A believer is concerned. He walks before the Lord with a concern for His honor. Scripture sets forth that they walk honestly. They walk by faith. Walk in the Spirit. They believe God. It matters. Does it matter to you how you walk? Don, it matters to you what men think of you as a preacher of the gospel of God's free grace. That Don Fortner, that Clay Curtis right there. I expect more out of them. They expect more temperance. And he reasoned of judgment to come. But a day was approaching in which all the books were going to be open. And the book. All men were judged out of the books. And all that were found not written in the book. The book of life. The book of Christ. All that were found to be not written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire as a judgment come. Paul preached before Felix and Drusilla. He preached that the righteousness of Christ was the only righteousness accepted by God. He preached, secondly, that those to whom this righteousness is imputed, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in newness of life. They walk after Christ. They hunger after Christ. They seek after Christ. Sinners? Sinners. They're more aware of it than anybody else. And they grieve over what they are. You know, the most consistent thing I've ever heard of about a regenerated saint of God is that he realizes how inconsistent he really is. That's consistent. When he realizes how inconsistent he is. And thirdly, that all men are going to be judged according to him who is the righteousness of his people. Well, as Paul reasoned before Felix and Drusilla concerning these three things, something happened. The Scripture sets forth that Felix trembled. He listened to what the Apostle Paul was saying, and he trembled. Man is without excuse before God. I'm going to tell you this, those trees right out there, that sky up there, leaves a man without excuse. You don't have an excuse. You have no excuse whatsoever. to deny the Godhead. You have no excuse whatsoever to refuse to bow to the lordship of Christ. Man is without excuse. By the grace of God, we'll hear the gospel of God's grace. We'll set forth what we are by nature, who God Almighty is, who Christ is, what He's done, where He is now. We'll hear this the next couple of days. And I'm going to tell you something. We're all without excuse. You refuse to hear what He has to say, you are without excuse. Why will a man not come to Christ? He's without excuse. Felix heard, Drusilla heard, and I doubt not that they remember right now that day Paul preached to them. Can you imagine remembering the last time? It may have been the last time. Imagine a man or a woman leaving this world and remembering the last time they heard the gospel. I pray, and I mean this, I pray that the Lord have mercy and save. Call out in this meeting some that He's everlastingly loved, known in Christ, chosen in Christ. I pray God save sinners. There was a man that heard the gospel. Felix trembled. Paul couldn't have said anything to these two or whoever, Paul, how many was left? There was nothing that he could have said that was more important. I'm standing here this evening just thinking to myself, what we're talking about, what we're saying, what we're considering, there's nothing that's more important. Got a call, or we called, while we was coming up this afternoon. And someone in our family recently gone in, my brother-in-law's, recently had gone in for some tests and found out that he had cancer. And got the results back today, and it was in the lymph nodes. And I just took a deep breath, and I thought, you know, what's more important than what we're talking about right here? Was it Hezekiah Don that the Lord gave 15 more years to? The Lord told him he's going to die. Turned his face to the wall. The Lord told the prophet, tell him I'll give him 15 more years. Those 15 years have been gone so long. What's 15 more years? What 25 more years? What 30 more years? If Almighty God leaves a man, leaves a woman to themselves. Trembled. He trembled, terrified, alarmed. He was fearful. But hearing the gospel, without the quickening power of God's Spirit, reveals that a man's conscience is cauterized, seared. But there was something else that I noticed in there that really struck me. Felix, it says that as verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered,
verse 24 says that Drusilla was there.
She didn't say anything. Didn't say she trembled. Didn't say anything.
This woman was a Jewess by birth and religion, a Jew.
Probably one that, as the scripture sets forth in the parable of the sower, when the sower went forth to sow and he sowed the seed, the gospel, some of it fell by the wayside and the birds came. Some hear. They hear it and it's gone that quick. Gone. It's just gone. How long did I sit? It's just gone. It's gone.
This woman, a Jewess, one by birth and one by religion, came up in church. I wonder how many times she went to the synagogue. I wonder how many times she heard the scriptures read. I wonder how many times she heard the preacher would stand up and sit forth and read scriptures. I wonder how many times. It just got to a point to where Paul preached here. Salvation is not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I've got some family members that I surely, they have no interest in the gospel. Surely, I could turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. I can read one verse of Scripture, and that Scripture, surely, that one Scripture will cause them to hear, and there will be no doubt in their mind. There's nothing that they're going to... We're bound to give thanks to you, beloved brethren, beloved of the Lord. For God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And when they hear that scripture, surely they'll be convinced. Not unless God Almighty blesses it to them. The Apostle Paul, a man blessed of God, sent of God, taught of God, preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and Drusilla sat there and no mention. Obviously, they were vain in their imagination. Every man, every woman has got some hope. It's something. They got something. I'm as good as the next person. God's a loving God. He's not going to do that. I don't even believe there's a God anyway. There's something which they rest their eternal soul on and try in their mind to settle down. How does a man or a woman listen to someone set forth truth of righteousness, temperance, and judgment? No effect. How is that? They're dead. Spiritually dead. But they were vain. And I just want to take for just a minute, and I'm going to sit down, but I want to take three things from the things that Felix said that sets forth a man's false assurance. Here's the first thing. I know. Showing how a man has got assurance, but it's a false assurance. This is what he said. He trembled. And Felix trembled and answered, and here's what he said, "Go thy way for this time." Now this is what he said. what you're talking about really has no beauty to me. Go thy way for this time. Right now, I'm just not interested. I believe you believe what you're preaching. I believe you're convinced of it. But oh, the difference. If you witness a miracle of God's grace in regenerating power, the Lord Jesus Christ was walking, going through Jericho. Felix said, "Go thy way for this time." No time. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. An old beggar. A blind beggar. And he heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. And as he was passing by, the Spirit of God taught that blind beggar, "Your life, your hope, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they tried to make that old man be quiet. And it says he cried the louder, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Felix would say, "I don't have time for you right now. Go your way." The Lord was walking one day, and people were everywhere touching him. It was a woman, and she had an issue of blood. 12 years, spent all she had. She grew none better. She saw him, and the Spirit of God taught that woman. He had to have. That's the only way she could see him. Man by nature is blind. Many looked on him, but she saw him. And you that believe, you see him. The seeing eye and the hearing ear, believers possess that. She looked at him and she said, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And she touched him. And the Lord said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "You mean who touched you? A lot of people touched you." "His virtue has gone out of me." And the Scripture says, there she was, and he looked at her. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer." Every time I looked this up, every time I saw "good cheer," it was for the encouragement of those that Almighty God had brought down and has shown them something of themselves. "Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Felix trembled. But what did he really think? He said, "Go your way. Go your way." Here's the second reason. That's the first thing I know. He had a false assurance. He had no need of Christ. "Go your way." Here's the second thing he said. "When I have a convenient season, when I have a favorable time of opportunity," time not good right now for me. "I'm busy. I got a business I got to build. I've got to,
right now, I don't have time for church. My wife goes, my husband goes, we drop our kids off. We're thinking about dropping them off for Sunday school maybe one day. When I have a convenient season, listen, procrastination is nothing more than to call God a liar. Procrastination. Listen to this scripture. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Procrastination. When I have a convenient season, when I have a convenient time, when it's a little bit better for me, a man that'll tell God Almighty, and listen, anyone that will absolutely say, I don't have time. I don't have time to come here. This pastor, I don't have time to come here. That pastor right there, these men that God has called out, set apart, taught, these men that prepare, these men that are here on Wednesdays, Sundays, let everything else go. But don't shun hearing the Word of God. I just don't have time. When I have a more convenient season, I'm going to be honest with you. The only convenient season is established by Christ. That's the only convenient season. Ezekiel 16:17, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine. Six times in that two passages, the Lord says, I did. When I saw you, the time was right, a convenient time. When I have a convenient time, the only convenient time is God's time. Not yours. Here's the third and final evidence of false assurance, false security. I'll call for thee. When it's good, go your way from now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call. When I've done all I want to do, when I've lived my life, when I've done what I want to do, when I've done this, when I've done that, I'll call you. An unbeliever thinks that he's going to be saved on his terms. He thinks he's going to be saved whenever it's good for him. I doubt it. Before I die, got some things I want to do. Got some traveling I got to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Got some money I'm going to make. Before I die, I'm going to make my amends with God and I'm going to get everything right. I was sitting in an office the other day and I was listening to these three people talk. This gentleman said to this lady sitting on the left here, he said, well, you know, so-and-so, he got in church. She said, really? Yeah. Well, he said, after he got sick. he decided it was time. Decided it was time to go ahead and get in church. Oh, she said, well, I'll tell you one thing. She said, that's awfully good, because, you know, good Lord needs to be, you know, adhered to. And it is the most natural thing for an unconverted sinner to think, I'm going to just act this thing out the way that I want to. Whenever the time is right, I'm going to call on the Lord. The carnal heart thinks it's going to live forever. Noah preached 120 years. And when God put him and his wife and his three sons and their wives and those animals in that ark, the Scripture says, and God shut the door. And it started to rain. And the earth opened up. Water came out. Torrents came down. And I don't doubt for one second that they started to call. Noah! Oh, we could read the story of the foolish virgins. Read the story of the ark. Sodom and Gomorrah. The Egyptians in the Red Sea. In closing, I want you to turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Procrastination. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 24. Because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Felix, he heard the Apostle Paul preached. He trembled. But what he really thought was evidenced in what he said. Go thy way for now. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. But the last two verses never bear out that he ever called to talk about his eternal soul. Listen to what he said back in Acts 24, verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. It means another man took over. And Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul bound. The Scripture says that he told him, he said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. but never got there. It never was convenient. Felix never called to talk to Paul concerning his eternal soul. Whenever Almighty God comes in power, something's going to happen like it did with the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer said to Paul, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's the evidence? What is the evidence of salvation? Surely there's some evidence. What's the evidence? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Men and women leave this world and perish because they will not come to Christ. No man, no woman is going to stand before God. You're going to say, "The reason that I perished is because you didn't give me a new heart." That's what it's going to take. Almighty God's going to have to give them a new heart. He's going to have to call them out of darkness. He's going to have to give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And they will bow. What if they don't? Whose fault is it? It's their fault. I called. You wouldn't come. Almighty God saves sinners. The evidence of a new heart is Christ is precious. His Word's precious. There's some tonight. Scripture says where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. As I've said before, surely there's two or three. He's here. And to all that believe Him, Christ is precious. You'll sit there and you'll muse upon the wonder of God's grace that He would show mercy to you and call you out of darkness and put you in His Son, where Brother Scott Richardson, my pastor, as he often says, where Almighty God put a man, that's where God kept him. He kept him to the end. He that's able to keep you from falling. Felix, didn't matter to him. Didn't matter. He heard a preacher. You go away. But let me read you Psalm 84:10. And this is the attitude of this dear saint, David. But I'm going to tell you something. Everyone that hears what I'm about to read can enter into this and say the same thing. So I'm thankful. Psalm 84:10. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Let me ask you. You that Almighty God's given a heart for Him, a heart for Christ. What would you rather have than what He's given you? You wouldn't give it up for anything. Lord, think about when the Lord came to slip my mind. Joshua, not the man that wrestled with the Lord. Jacob wrestled with Jacob. The day began to break, and the man, the Lord Himself, man, said to Jacob, He said, "Turn me loose." Jacob said, "Not unless you bless me. Turn me loose. I can't. I just can't." "What's your name?" He said, Jacob. Not anymore. Your name's Israel. Prince with God. What would you give up for that? What would you take for that?
A lot of them heard him preach and they didn't want to stay anymore. That's a hard saying. He looked at his disciples and he said, will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. We're sure. You're the Christ. This man right here told Paul, he said, you go away. And a believer said, where you go, that's where I want to be. I want to be with you. You're my hope. You're my life. You're my surety. You're my God. You're my husband. You're my friend. You're my substitute. You're my great priest. He is my all and in all.